Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. For more information about Beyond the Book and Copyright Clearance Center, please go to www.beyondthebook.com.
Welcome to Beyond the Book. My name is Chris Keneally. I am Director of Author Relations for the nonprofit Copyright Clearance Center, and very happy to welcome you to a special preview for an upcoming conference in San Antonio, the annual conference of the Text and Academic Authors Association. Joining me on the line right now is Kim Pollack, who is the Associate Executive Director for TAA, and welcome to Beyond the Book, Kim.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice to be with you on the program.
Well, we're delighted to have you and looking forward to hearing a lot about the upcoming program. We know quite a few people in our audience are, they sort of fit, if you will, the category of either being a textbook author or an academic author of one kind or another, so the kinds of programs you are offering should be of interest to them. And we'll be joined in a few minutes, too, by a special guest who'll give us a preview of one of the fascinating programs that you've got lined up. But first of all, let's talk about some basics here, Kim. When and where is the TAA conference this year?
It will be held in San Antonio, Texas, at the El Tropicano Riverwalk Hotel, June 25th to the 27th. That's Thursday through Saturday.
And you've been doing these conferences for a number of years, of course. It's a sort of a vital part of the organization, really allows people to come together. And as much as it is a learning opportunity, it's a networking opportunity for people who are veteran authors and first-time authors, right?
That's right.
Tell us about some of the programs you do have planned.
Well, it's a three-day conference, and the first day offers the choice of three all-day sessions. They're workshops. The first is on textbook writing 101, how to write when you're not a natural writer. And then there's a two-part workshop. There are two two-hour workshops. One is academic writing and journal publishing, and Cut the Crap, how to develop the art of academic writing. And then the third all-day workshop is how to get published by scholarly journals, Confessions of an Editor. And then the second day will consist of 1 hour sessions. And those sessions include collaboration agreements, time management, the business of authoring, how to include visual content, preparing multiple editions, marketing, accessibility, the future of textbook publishing, orientation to the journal publishing industry, scholarly writing, open access, editing an academic book. And we'll also have a special session that will allow authors to ask questions of publishers in an open discussion format.
Well, I think, you know, it certainly sounds like there's something there for everyone. And, you know, the textbook publishing industry, like so many parts of publishing today, is very much in development and very dynamic. So if you began writing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly longer than that, and you thought you knew what the business was about, it's time for a refresher course, it would seem to me. And especially sort of attractive is this opportunity to speak to publishers. And I've attended a few of these conferences in the past, Kim. I think that's the first time you've been able to arrange something like that, right?
Well, we did try this last year.
Okay.
And we had just a couple of publishers there, and it was very popular, so we decided to expand it this year. And we have about six different publishing representatives that will be participating in that session. And it will be a sort of a variety of journal publishing type representatives and textbook publishing type representatives. And attendees will be able to ask questions and get feedback. And they'll also be able to ask those questions anonymously if they aren't fully comfortable asking a question and being identified as the person asking the question. So it'll be a really good opportunity to ask, you know, questions that they might not want to ask their own publisher.
Well, that's a good point, and I think what's really interesting and attractive about that is the notion of bringing authors and publishers together in one room, like bringing Republicans and Democrats together or something like that. So many writers' conferences are writers talking to other writers, and really the mystery remains in how the publishers are thinking, what are they looking for, what do they react to when they see a proposal, all those kinds of important points. So to have that opportunity right there sounds to me like a really valuable opportunity. And you'll also be doing some roundtable discussions over lunch. Tell us what those are about.
Yeah, we started this about 3 years ago just to add a little bit more educational opportunities for the conference. And what they are is several 30-minute small group roundtable discussions. They're held over lunch. This year the topics are publishing in the school market, copyright, working with editors, expanding the scope of your publication efforts into different disciplines and service learning projects. These discussions are actually being sponsored by the Copyright Clearance Center. TA has really enjoyed working with you and the CCC in the last few years, and we really appreciate your sponsorship of the TA conference. We're really excited about your involvement again this year.
Well, I was going to say to you, did I hear the word copyright?
That's right.
I'm attending
one of those roundtable discussions called Coping with Copyright Conundrums.
Right.
That'll be good.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and you know, I certainly know as an author myself, but also working at Copyright Clearance Center, that a great many authors really have, because they're so busy, they've had to put aside their concerns about copyright, who owns what, and how do I keep track, and what do I need to know. But once they get that chance to ask some questions, they really, it just gushes out of them. So there's a lot on their minds about copyright. I'm looking forward to trying to help sort some of that out with them and appreciate that that nice, very quick roundup. So there is a website where everyone can read all the details about the conference. Kim, tell us what that is.
It is taaonline.net/TAA conference.
Perfect. Well, we'll suggest they go there and they can learn a good deal more and register, I'm sure. Now joining us on the line to give us a real preview of one of the programs is a PhD professor of psychology with the College of Notre Dame of Maryland, Susan Robison. Susan, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks to you and Kim for inviting me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you because you've got a topic lined up here that we could all learn from, I'm sure. It's called time management, why you don't need it, can't do it anyway, and what to do instead. So are you telling me to throw out everything I knew about how to organize my day?
Probably not throw out everything, but throw out the notion that you're controlling time because, Chris, you aren't controlling it anyway.
Well,
it just marches along, doesn't it?
I know that for a fact.
Don't you know that already? Sure.
That's right.
And so do all our academic and textbook authors. The days always seem too short to fit everything in, and we don't have control over time.
I understand. And, you know, I hate the feeling. I'm an early riser, and I hate the feeling I get sometimes when it's 7 o'clock in the morning and I feel like I'm already behind, and I stop myself and I say, how can I be behind at 7 o'clock in the morning? But nevertheless, it feels that way.
And we know that feeling. By lunchtime, you say, well, I might as well go to bed, and maybe the next day will work better.
Right. Well, you've got some very specific ways of approaching this. And really, you know, to the point of addressing the academic audience, they've got responsibilities in the classroom. They've got responsibilities to the deans and to their departments. They've got responsibilities for conducting the kinds of research that they need to be doing anyway. And then finally, if they're academic authors of one stripe or another, they've got responsibilities to their editors. So they are juggling quite a lot, and maybe they've got families too, good Lord. So there's a lot going on there. One of your suggestions is to procrastinate creatively. What does that mean, really?
Well, Chris, you really nailed the dilemma of the academic and textbook author, in fact, most professors, which is a multifaceted job description with roles that each themselves could be full-time. There are professors across the country that don't do scholarly work or don't do much of it and are full-time teachers. And, of course, there are scholars who work at research places that don't do much teaching. So our folks are probably going to have all of this on their plate at all times, and, as you say, a personal life as well. So being able to decide what to manage, since we've decided we're going to give up managing time, we can't do it anyway, we're going to manage tasks, energy, and attention. And so how to do these, one of the tips that I'm going to give is that we all procrastinate, and we all have a secret shame about it. We might even say to people, I'm a procrastinator, you know, and the correct answer when someone says that is to say, of course I know, you're human, and so am I, and I procrastinate as well. So what do I mean by creative procrastination? It's being in charge of your procrastination. So instead of the default mode being you don't get something done and it's held over from day to day on your to-do list, that you actually have some kind of system in place for being able to decide what's not worth doing or what's not worth doing today but perhaps next week or perhaps not this year but after you get tenure. And that's what I mean by creative procrastination, is tying in the procrastination that you do with your basic value system, your philosophy of life, your sense of mission.
And that's all about determining what's important. Now, important, of course, is relative. Something important to me wouldn't be important to you necessarily. And so you really do have to understand yourself what your goals are. And so you've got something called the pyramid of power that allows people to organize what they're, what they are deciding is important. Describe that for us.
I will, and for your listeners who might be attending the conference, I'm going to briefly describe, probably a little more detail than I'm going to give you right now in my answer, and then in one of those roundtables, it's my turn with people who might want to get a little deeper into that topic to develop the sense of pyramid and actually have people walk away from that lunchtime with me with a pyramid in place, that their personal lens through which to put all the activities that they do through and be able to evaluate what to procrastinate, what to do, in what order. So let me tell you a little bit about the structure. If you can imagine a pyramid, the strongest archaeological and architectural structure that you can make, it has a wide base and a narrow bottom, and I divide it into four horizontal strips, if you will. The first being purpose, the one above it being mission, the one above that being vision, and the one above that being goals. So what I will do briefly in the one-hour session is ask people to at least write down the basic purpose of why they think they are here in this life. This purpose statement is usually vague. It's usually tied with one's deep sense of self, and it often has spiritual language, whatever works within the person's value system. And once written successfully, it usually lasts for a lifetime. Above that is a mission, which usually lasts only 3 to 5 years, and I will take them through a very specific exercise to be able to take their best strengths, their values, and the people that they distribute themselves to, whether it be students, publishers, family members, etc., to create a mission statement. Above that, I probably won't go into much detail, but at the lunchtime I will, on how to create a vision statement, which is a future statement of the outcomes of doing your mission. And lastly, we put the goals together. What often happens for many busy professionals of all kinds, including professors, is we have a slew of goals hanging up in the air, attached to nothing. And no wonder we feel overwhelmed and like we're behind by 7 a.m. in the morning.
Right, because we don't know which one to pick and
Absolutely. Where
to start and define accomplishment, too. I think that happens to a lot of us. We really don't know when to stop sometimes.
We don't. So once the the pinnacle of the pyramid is attached to the base, it all gets a lot easier because the items you just mentioned, when to begin, when to start, how to prioritize, those questions get easier to answer.
Well, that's all about what we're about here, is making things a little bit easier in a very busy world. Susan Robison is a psychologist, an author, and a consultant. She's the former academic department chair at the College of Notre Dame of Maryland, where she teaches leadership courses in the graduate school. She's written two leadership books, Discovering Our Gifts and Sharing Our Gifts, and is a co-author of The Thinking and Writing in College, and has done quite a lot of work on leadership and work-life balance. So we really appreciate speaking with you, Susan. And we'll go back to Kim very quickly. Kim Pollack from TAA. If all of this sounds really attractive for people and they're interested in attending the conference, tell us briefly about some incentives they have for early registration and also what some of the basic fees might be.
Sure. Well, we're offering the first 30 conference registrants a copy of Professors as Writers, a self-help guide to productive writing, and self-publishing textbooks and instructional materials. We have not reached our 30 conference registrants, so there's still time to register. And also, we're offering our first-time attendees up to $45 off a full conference registration. First-time members pay $180, and first-time non-members pay $195, and a one-year TA membership is included in the non-member conference registration. Registration includes conference materials, all workshops and sessions, the luncheons, beverages, continental breakfast on Friday and Saturday, and also our hospitality networking suite each night, and a group trip to the Alamo. So it's a pretty cost-effective conference. Pretty much everything but dinner is included.
Well, it sounds attractive, and, you know, I'm looking forward. I will be there, as you mentioned, talking about copyright and other things. You'll be down at the El Tropicana Riverwalk Hotel, and San Antonio is supposed to be a very attractive city. There is the Riverwalk there. I know jazz and fine music is a part of the cultural attraction. You mentioned the Alamo, so there's some history as well. I think it should be a very nice spot for the conference.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more about what else there is to do in the San Antonio area, we do have a link on the conference website. It says things to see and do in San Antonio, and it talks about the Riverwalk, the River Center Mall, Hemisphere Plaza, the Alamo, even SeaWorld San Antonio, lots of different things, how much it costs, how to get there. So we've sort of done a lot of that legwork for you if you want to plan it, you know, make the conference even a family trip.
All right. Well, tell us again the website for TAA.
It's www.taaonline.net/TAA conference.
Great. Well, everyone should go have a look at that. We will link from the Beyond the Book website directly to that. And it has been a pleasure speaking just now with Kim Pollack, the Associate Executive Director of the Texan Academic Authors Association. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having us today.
And we've also spoken earlier with Susan Robison, who's a professor of psychology from the College of Notre Dame of Maryland, telling us about time management. And we've been managing our time here and Beyond the Book, I hope, reasonably effectively. Thank you for joining us, Susan.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris. And yes, your focus has helped us have a great conversation in a short amount of time.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all the audience of Beyond the Book. We appreciate you joining us regularly for these various podcasts about the dynamic business of publishing and writing. We look forward to having you back again very soon.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.